Once more we hear the words of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Back in 1991, there was a raft, a large raft, kind of a poorly constructed boat, that was trying to reach the southern tip of Florida from Haiti. And it had over 70 passengers on it, some of them teenagers and children. And it began to capsize. And this was very big news at the time. Our family was living in southern Florida at the time. And there were 33 people that perished that day. And I still remember video of watching them pull bodies up onto the beach, onto the shore of these poor people that had tried to reach our country. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, just think of the risk that those people took to try to get here. It's just amazing. And then I thought, it would never even cross my mind to try to go to some other land, to try to go live and bring my family to some other country. Not long after that, I happened to be at a church meeting one night. I was a pastor of a church down there, and we had a meeting that went till about 9 o'clock. And as I came out of the meeting, there was a young man, probably about 18, 19 years old, who was possibly from Haiti. You could tell he was very poor. And he was attempting to sleep under the outdoor canopy of our church. And I came up to him, and he didn't speak English. And I tried to ask him where he was from. And he finally understood what I was saying enough to tell me the name of the town where he was from. It's a town called Immokalee. And it was about 20 minutes away. And apparently, I could tell by what he told me, he had missed his ride to get back home. And he was just going to sleep on the concrete under this canopy that night. And so I said, I will drive you home. I ran home, got my car keys, came back, and put him in my little Honda that some of my members of the church told me, you need to get a bigger car than that. But I put him in my little Honda that was a few years old. And I remember when he got in the car, he started looking at the dash and the lights on it and the radio system, the sound system. And he responded to my stupid little Honda the way I would when I was 12 inside of a limousine. That's how he was looking at my vehicle that I drove him home in that night. We enjoy some tremendous blessings in our country. But sometimes we don't remember to think of it quite that way. There's a reporter by the name of John Stossel. He said something kind of funny one night, sad and funny at the same time. He said, isn't it great to live in a land where the number one problem among our poorest citizens is obesity? Living with so much wealth and opulence around us is a wonderful thing, but it has a tendency to kind of work like a little bit of a cancer on our hearts and on our souls. It makes being materialistic a lot easier, and it makes ingratitude something that is quite easy for us to gravitate towards, to forget to be thankful for the many blessings that we have. Because we see so much around us and because we've had so much in our lives, we just expect it. That's the way it should be. In fact, we expect more. We expect that we should get more than what we have. Sometimes it's pretty easy for me to complain about where I'm at in life, even though 95% of the world would love to be in my situation. Some of them would die to get here with their kids. And yet, it's so easy for me to take it all for granted. If you've ever observed a really spoiled kid who maybe lives in a very wealthy family and just kind of watched that child, it brings up just a sense of ugh in us. It's really hard to watch. It brings up a sense of injustice that somebody who has so much has no appreciation for what it's taken for them to be in that situation. And sad to say, that can be a problem that befalls us as well. Even Christians who are reminded of the blessings of God on a regular basis, even we can still be filled with ingratitude. And we can be tempted to look at the wealth that surrounds us and be less grateful for what we have and even expect more. It starts to kind of warp our thinking, if you will. I not only expect to have water in the morning when I turn on my faucet, I expect it to be clean. And I expect it to be hot or cold the way I want it to be. I not only expect to eat today, I expect to have a lot of food in front of me. I expect it to be food that I get to choose, and it better be good. I expect it to match what I want. I not only expect to have clothes to wear for today, but they better be good clothes. In fact, I want it to be so that I can select any colors that I want and put any styles I want together. And if my drink at Starbucks takes a few minutes too long to get ready, look out. I don't care what that barista looks like. This summer, I had to wait a few weeks for my alley to get paved. It probably took 2 weeks longer than I had expected they would. And I remember getting kind of frustrated. And it made me think afterwards, just think how many people in the world would love to have a smooth alley, who would even love to have a garage. And here I am griping and complaining because it took maybe 14 days longer than I wanted. I can moan and complain about the cost of health care. But just think of it. Right here, being in southern Minnesota, we are 90 miles away from the best health care that's possibly ever existed in the world. And even though it does cost us a lot, we probably can all afford it. Just think that there are princes from Middle Eastern countries that come here to get that close to the tremendous healthcare system we have. And they have a satellite a block away from our campus. St. Bernard, years ago in the Middle Ages, said this: ingratitude is like a poisonous, burning, destructive wind. It has a horrible effect on our spiritual lives. You think about how the psalmist tells us all these things that God does for us, and that he heals all our diseases. I've got little nicks all over my body that have healed. Imagine if God just let those stay open the rest of your life. Just think what that'd be like. Just think of all the Band-Aids that we'd be walking around with. How silly it would look. But he heals all our diseases, partly through nature and partly through physicians and medicine. And yet, it's easy for me to take that for granted. Just think how miserable our lives would be if just for one day, just one day, God decided, I'm going to hold back my blessings just to see what happens. Just think how difficult our lives would be if he just pulled his good angels back that protect us all the time for one day and just let them assault the evil angels of the world assault us. Now, God invites you and me to take this ingratitude that can so easily swell up in our hearts and to bring it, along with David, to the cross, to bring it to the feet of our Savior, where blood is dripping down from his feet. Because there at that cross is where we receive full 100% forgiveness for all of our guilt, even the ingratitude, even that senseless thing about forgetting to thank God the way we should for our blessings. And there at the foot of the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. I'm going to say that verse again because it's one of the most beautiful in the Bible. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Just think how wonderful that is. That mercy and compassion in the heart of God that came into this world in the form of his Son went and took all of the guilt for our wickedness, even our ingratitude, to the cross and made full atonement so that all of our sins could be wiped away. That's why David begins the psalm when he's listing off in this catalog of blessings. He's listing off and he says, remember all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. That's number one. That's the first thing he mentions. How significant and important that is. that God has forgiven all of your iniquities. But there's a second reason that God invites you through his word to the foot of the cross when it comes to dealing with our ungratefulness. And that is this, to realize that the absolute perfect life that we all wish we could have in this world, the absolute best perfect life, has been purchased and won for you already by the dead body of God's Son. When God sent his Son into the world, it was not simply to forgive your sins, yes, but also by faith in him that you and I would get to possess as our very own the beautiful mansion of heaven that is waiting for us. And that's why David also lists off here about this God who redeems your life from destruction. That's the resurrection. That's Easter. Through faith in that Savior, he redeems your life from destruction. You've been bought back from the grave, from all the things that would ravage your body, from all those things that someday may claim your life. He redeems your life from destruction. When my mom was about a sophomore in college, she was told by a doctor that she would, because of a disease she had, that she would probably not live past 30, and that she would probably not be able to have any children. I think they were wrong on that one. And she used to tell me, though, that because of being told that, it made her more appreciative of every day of life that she had and the blessings that she had. And next to her bedside was a little booklet, a little half-page booklet called Heaven. And I never really read it until I got probably maybe even into college. And she said it also, the fact that she was told that also made her have to be more spiritually minded about her life, knowing it could end at any day. And I finally read that booklet when I was about your age. And it was just full of passages and things about heaven and what heaven is going to be like. Just think what we have waiting for us from this gracious God, that even though we've often been ungrateful, he forgives us and loves us, and he has that waiting for us too, forever. It's going to last forever. Now, just like a parent, like when your mom and dad gives you a present at Christmas time, they didn't give you that dependent on your gratitude. It was just because of their love for you. God has given you heaven, not dependent on something you've done, but just because of his mercy in his heart. And at the same time, your parents did love to see that you were thankful. And so it is with your loving God that's given you heaven free. He loves to see gratitude in the hearts of his faithful. Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. Amen.